Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atera. And today's show is about the phenomena of orbs. And it's a fascinating thing. I can't wait to share my guests with you. They're very amazing, incredibly interesting people. The first guest that you'll hear from is Hope Mead. She's an artist, professional photographer, filmmaker, and her husband, Randy Mead, is a musician, filmmaker, and healer. And together they have produced an amazing DVD called Orbs, The Veil is Lifting. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Are you there, Randy?
Yep, pleasure to be.
And we'll try not to talk over each other, but I'm sure it'll happen. Now, for me, it's exciting because when I was a kid, I used to see what I called, you know, when you're a kid, you relate it to the closest thing you understand, which I call them bubbles of light or balls of light, which now we call this orb phenomena. So you pick which one's going to kind of explain for my listeners what an orb is.
That's a very deep thing, what an orb is. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about what orbs are.
Well, let's talk about what it looks like if I took the picture, just explaining so they get... It's hard on radio to get a visual. That's why I encourage you to buy the DVD.
Yes, absolutely. And also, if you go to our site, toolsfortranscendence.com, there's a gallery of orb pictures that, will, you know, even if you go while we're on the radio and get a look. But basically, orbs are balls of light that are showing up in people's photographs all over the world. More and more, it's happening. The phenomenon is happening, and that's why we named the movie Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, because we really believe that the veil between dimensions is now lifting, and that we're being able to see things that we couldn't see before.
Well, as a clairvoyant, I can really relate to that because I think we do see this phenomena. People who, for whatever reason, happen to have a vision that's a little different than maybe everyone's vision or sees energy differently. For me, I've seen energy since I was a very young child. And I believe, after watching your DVD, which is The Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, that this is the same energy we see, which I would equate with seeing them first as orbs, and then they would elongate and become figures. So they could become what I called angels.
That's great. You're one of the few people who sees them with the naked eye. We find about 10% of the people actually see them with the naked eye. Most people need to see it through a camera.
And the reason that this seems to, and I don't want to leave Randy out of this, but it appeared to me, because you're the photographer, I'm going to talk to you for a minute, that this became more evidence as all of a sudden technology has improved. Like, you know, years ago in science, you know, germs were there. We just couldn't see them till the invention of the microscope. But now, it's sort of that same phenomena. Now that we have digital cameras,
absolutely,
we're seeing orbs.
Absolutely. Well, the digital camera allows us to see a part of the light spectrum that we weren't seeing before. And so certainly with the advent of the digital camera, people are also getting orbs more and more, though they were seen on 35 millimeter and even some of the disposable cameras. They've been seen on all kinds of media and have even been caught on video.
Well, you know, I thought that was very interesting because I was wondering if it... I had some old pictures from probably 10 years ago, and there's actually orbs in that on film, regular film. So I was wondering if... it's that technology's come forward, or maybe the light was just right, or it appears that our energy interacts with these orbs, too.
Absolutely.
Very much so. Our energy does interact with them. I think intention, in our experience, intention plays a big part of whether they're appearing in the photographs or appearing to your vision. You know, you have to want to see them. It has to mean something to you.
This DVD is sort of a companion to a book as well called The Orb Project, correct?
Yes.
And, Randy, I'm going to ask you to pronunciate the author's names because they're a little difficult to pronunciate.
Okay. Klaus Heinemann, who's a physicist who has worked for NASA, is one of the authors. And Michal Ledwith, who's a theologian who was in What the Bleep, is
the
other author.
I'm so glad you said those names. They're difficult. The Mr. Klaus is also a PhD. He's a PhD.
Yes, he's a PhD.
He's very linear thinking, and in the show, in the DVD, I really enjoyed that input because you could tell, you know, he came from such a technical, right-brained upset, but it was very interesting to see that input.
Absolutely. He also did work at Stanford. But I think something that you'll find about everyone who's in the film, even though Klaus is a scientist, he's also a deeply spiritual person.
He's
and that's
Reiki
what
master.
I'm seeing more in my work, Thank You, Spirit, for that, because I do see more people, you know, really true. A true scientist, as you actually say in the DVD, is someone who is open to the possibilities, because everything in science was a theory, really, before it became something else, and people forget that.
Yeah, and many of the things that we accept as fact, in fact, are still theories that are just commonly accepted hypotheses.
I'm so excited about this DVD. I have to be very careful because I don't want to give the whole thing away. But one thing, you know how it is. You get slurp of the mouth because you want to share so much. I really watched it intensely twice last night again to really try and bring up subjects that I thought I hadn't really heard out in the media before, and I think it's I'm going to give people a little taste of it so they want to go get the DVD. And I want to give your website, and we're giving the website of www.orbstheveilislifting.com. And I think that's easy because then you remember the name of the DVD.
Yes.
And I'm sure they can find it on a lot of the, like Amazon and other places very quickly because it's going to be very popular. In this particular one, you talk about one of the things I thought was interesting because as a little girl, I could do this, as I could call the bubbles of light to me. And so when I saw that part in your DVD where you had the music and the laughter and the energy,
yes.
I was so excited because I thought, finally, you know, here it is in real, you can, you know, touch it. It's on TV, on my TV. It's not just me saying, this is what I see.
Right.
That was such a relief for me. You can't even imagine.
Oh, I can imagine. I feel the same way. I didn't see them with my eyes per se as I grew up, but I could feel the energies. And I think a lot of sensitive people have felt energies around them. And now that we can actually see them, it really substantiates our feelings and our visions.
I used to tell my mother all the time that the bubbles of light were kissing her, you know, because they were coming in around her head a lot because she was a very, very kind person. And she just thought that was, you know, strange, but she had to get used to it because that's the way I was. But, you know, it's true. And I loved in this movie, in the DVD, Randy, there's this lovely lady, and I'm not sure of her name, that because somehow on how my DVD was working, my TV, some of the names were cut off. The lady who does the dolphins.
Oh, Joan Ocean.
Ocean, mm-hmm. Yeah. She was amazing to me because I have also seen those kinds of orbs in water, and, of course, just thinking that with my eyes, you know, not focusing right. But now after seeing those pictures included in this DVD, it was amazing.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've never seen them underwater, but it's so, you know, that certainly puts the water drop theory of skeptics to rest. They certainly couldn't be water drops underwater or dust particles.
So Joan, also after the movie, she told us in an email that she realized that she mostly sees them around the sharks, which she thought was very interesting, that the sharks seem to attract the orbs more than anything.
One would have to wonder what the energy is that would call to that.
Right.
But what I saw also that I thought was very interesting is that I think it was Klaus that was talking about, or one of the gentlemen in the movies was talking about how we are, you know, there's so much inner space we have not discovered. What's right really literally in front of our eyes. And in the pictures of the orbs, in some parts of the pictures of the orbs, they literally truly look like just balls of light, okay? And then other ones are more opaque, and then yet other ones almost look like cells under a microscope, like they have nucleuses.
The intricacies in them, you can really, mm-hmm. really see them.
I think somebody referred to they almost looked like they had mandalas in them.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Hope, what do you think about that whole different... what people see or how they actually are filmed?
Well, in terms of what you're talking about right now, I think that the more they come into this 3D reality, third dimension, the clearer they are. Sometimes you'll get orbs and they'll just be very faint and very you know, you can barely see them, almost phantoms. And it's my feeling that it's because they haven't totally manifested in the third dimension. And then we've noticed different cameras will get different kinds of orbs too, it seems. Orbs are usually round, but just by the name orbs, but a lot of times, not a lot of times, but some people will get orbs that are different shapes, triangles or hexagons. There are all kinds of amazing phenomena that are coming through right now.
Well, I actually would have to almost liken it to Dr. Miso, who discovered that water and how emotions and energy affects water, that the crystals in the water form differently depending on the energy around them sometimes.
That's right.
And so almost the orbs could be truly affected by our inner reaction, you know, almost as if, one speculation, that they are another species, or perhaps even our species, what is truly the inner core of us. I thought that was very fascinating because really in the DVD you talk about possibilities, not really making anybody own one version of the truth, which I liked.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that psychically we all have intuitions about what the orbs are. On a very core level, I think I can speak for Randy, too. We've been doing this work for a long time together. We believe that they're a form of consciousness that can be inhabited by any number of things, including us traveling in our astral bodies, us when we leave our bodies through the death experience, earth elementals, ETs that might want to come in and use them as portals, what we know is that they are conscious because we've seen them relate to people when higher vibrations are there, when music is being played or people are laughing, when there's love and bliss. You know, a lot of people are getting them now at parties just accidentally or at weddings because of the high energy that's at these celebrations.
Well, what I also thought was very, because they come in many different sizes, small ones, very large ones, you know, it's like there's such a diversity, just like there are people, such diversity, such a different collectiveness that you shot in very many different environments, so it's not limited, it appears, by environments. And it also appeared to me that it's not limited by your skill.
Oh, no.
How many of these pictures have you taken?
We have about 20,000 right now.
And as I looked into this and as I, you know, related it to my own personal life and certainly things I have read, I really felt, and I like that you also brought this up in the film, there's an absolutely incredible cast that's involved in this DVD, and certainly if you want to mention some of those, I'd love that. One of the people, though, that I happen to know is Jay-Z Knight, who is the channeler of Ramtha, happens to be from Washington State, and so I've actually met her and, you know, had some interaction from the wisdom of Ramtha as well as the personal information from Jay-Z Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about an aspect that, you know, we have seen this symbol or this in art through the centuries, through decades. This sort of circular image or illumination around saints, and, you know, could this be an aspect of this orb energy?
That's right. It seems like that maybe the artists were highly perceptive people that were able to see this, and often cherubs and angels or even fairies in art have been portrayed, you know, both as little beings but also as, you know, just balls of light or just a head, with wings, you know, with just a smiling face with wings, for example.
Well, really, truly, down through the centuries, in almost all esoteric studies, they talk about people reaching, quote-unquote, an ecstasy or illumination. And perhaps that is that the consciousness of that individual has awakened through prayer or whatever experience to see in a different way, thus seeing things and painting them, thus creating them with their music, those kinds of interactions.
Absolutely.
Have you studied this as in having a group of healers using, like, distance healing? Because I believe this is some of the energy that's used when spiritualists, I'm involved in spiritualism and have done some research in that, spiritualists believe in distant healing, and it appeared to me that this is some of the energy that could be connected and then used for distant healing.
Well, and of course, it was more than spiritualists just now.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of more open-minded scientists are starting to believe in distant healing and do research on it. We've had some contact with the Institute of Noetic Sciences. In fact, one of our scenes was filmed there in the film. And, of course, they're doing a lot of really well-documented scientific research on distant healing. And, you know, they've done work with this young man from Canada, Adam, the dream healer, and he's, you know, invariably has orbs around him, and John of God invariably has orbs around him.
Well, the reason I brought up spiritualism, because Harry Edwards was a very well-known, famous distant healer. And so, you know, they haven't waited for science to prove it. They've been doing it a long time. But I love that science is catching up, you know?
Yes.
It's wonderful, because I think for so many times, such a long time, it's really been out of the science realm. They didn't want to, you know, even get near it for fear it would not, you know, it would be... Well, in the 1800s, a lot of scientists that were interested in started to study were actually, you know, put out of their blackballed in their own way. So it has always been socially acceptable to go in search of. But you were drawn to this. So how were you drawn to this? How did this happen to come to this point?
Well, originally, we live in Washington State also, originally we went to Thought for Sanctuary, which is at Trout Lake, Washington, right, very close to Portland, to play music. I had written songs, and we had a band, and we went there because we had heard there was a lot of ET, people seeing ETs around Mount Adams, and we thought we were probably not the only life in the universe, but we had never seen anything to show us otherwise. So we went there to do music, and we saw all kinds of things in the sky, but we also discovered orbs in the camera. And at first there were just a couple of orbs, but it was enough to go, there's something going on here. And as a photographer who's used to taking pictures and framing a picture and knowing what I'm going to get in a composition, I was suddenly creating interdimensional art. And it was just mind-blowing. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And then as we experimented with music and vibration and really communicating with the orbs and calling them in and realizing that we could create environments where they were there almost all the time, because they, once your consciousness is there around them, once you acknowledge in your neural net that orbs exist, then you're a lot more likely to get them in an ongoing way.
I think that's true. I think the minute you become aware of something, you see it more, because you've opened your mind and your energy to the possibility of it. In the DVD, Randy, there's this amazing backdrop that you have, that you've actually made this incredible instrument.
Yeah, that's actually pieces of another instrument that was that I built for my master's thesis on tuning and psychoacoustics, the effect of pure tones on consciousness, was basically what my master's thesis was about. And then the instruments were in storage for a long time, and then I decided to put some of my favorite tones down in one of my favorite places in the world, in this beautiful cedar grove.
It's almost an incredible magic wind chime on a grand scale.
That's right. Well, it doesn't. You have to actually.
You have to have it actually hit them.
They don't flap in the wind, but it's very fun to go and play them. And
I would think it would be. You're also, I believe, a professional flautist. Am I saying that right? Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, flautist, flute.
Yeah, flautist.
Either one's correct.
I like that language, flautist. Yeah. So you have other CDs of your beautiful music, and that can they find out about that as well on the website? I hope?
Yeah. If they go, the two sites are linked. So
orbsavailislifting.com
is fine, or toolsfortranscendence.com. You can go direct. You can get the film there, and quite several of my other recordings are available there. And
thank you so much. So, Hope, do you
yes.
think anyone can capture these? Is this something that anyone can go out and choose to experience? And they don't really just have to go to a graveyard.
No.
You know, I mean, really, truly. Well, we hear so much about that on taps and the other place, the Ghostbuster places where they catch orbs, and then they sort of wishy-washy just say, oh, well, that's just energy. It doesn't prove life or spiritual, you know, life after death or anything. And I've always been sort of anti that, because I do think it has to do that that is a form of spirit or energy drawn as spirit. But it could be many things, of course.
Yes.
I don't think anyone can say they absolutely know until we communicate some way to know. And like you said, there could be very many aspects of orbs.
Yes.
Well, I don't think that they're ghosts or, you know, spirits trapped on this plane in the conventional sense of ghosts, because they don't seem to be trapped. They come
right.
and go
no.
very,
and,
you know.
And I'm glad you clarified that, because I did not mean it trapped either. To me, it would be a spirit coming to communicate with you.
That's right. And
who has freedom.
Not restricted to graveyards. They
right,
come
right. But I think the illusion of many, many people is when they have heard about orbs, because of these things on the TV and the media,
right.
is a lot of times they've been captured in those places. And I think most people do not realize it may be because the people are there investigating and they're drawn to the people rather than people just thinking, oh, they're hanging out at the graveyard.
Well, the other thing is how many people actually go out and try to photograph in these places at night. I mean, it's a learned behavior. Something that I really suggest to people, and what you were saying, is getting a group of people together and making a party out of it. Get together and with the intent of getting together with your cameras to photograph orbs. Call them in.
And just celebrate life.
Send out love to the universe. You know, it's a great pastime. It's a great thing to do.
We've been going around and showing the film and asking people to bring their cameras. Then after the film, say, let's invite the orbs in and take pictures. And it keeps working in some, you know, bookstores and halls and various places. But the energy of the people having seen the film, being excited and uplifted by the possibility and just asking it to happen, you know, we keep getting orbs in all these very interesting
One
places.
Of the things that I also saw, it's in the book, on plate figure 1-17, but I also believe it's in the DVD, are some things that almost look like smoke. They actually almost look a little bit, if you've ever saw the movie The Abyss, that kind of translucent energy that came up, it's sort of that. Now, what I find interesting is, because I'm a clairvoyant reader, and I have been for 25 years, and I have a lot of clients, I've had clients send me scenes, pictures they've taken after an accident, like where their son or someone has gotten killed by the side of the road, and they go over there, and it's a way of kind of coping with the grieving process. But in that experience, they've sent me photos, and it will have that kind of smoky, esoteric energy on a clear, sunny day that nobody can explain. I actually read for a group of people, and I think my friend still has the recording of it, and it was people who had all lost children, and as I was reading, that kind of energy came around. So there has, to me, in my own mindset, I'm not saying you're saying that, but it's so, I liked it was given on the DVD and it's given in the book, that certainly to me there's a possibility that we have started to begin to capture the essence of spirit, passed over spirits. In some form.
I really do feel that it's a spiritual phenomenon. I unhesitatingly will say that it's consciousness, that it's, you know, something from the spiritual realms. We tend to be cautious about pigeonholing or saying precisely what it is. You know, they're only angels, they're not this, or they're this. You know,
I really thought about your DVD is you left the possibility for discernment to everybody's own belief system, but you did say that, you know, if this is consciousness and they are different forms of consciousness, they could be, you know, our consciousness when it leaves the body, they could be these angels, guides, masters, loved ones, whatever. So the potential is there, but for me as a medium to see in a book that's by someone else that same kind of energy, it makes me feel like at least we're now scientifically trying to look forward to it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Look at it. It's not just from it's a medium thing. It's a anybody thing.
Yes, this is a really special moment in history. that we are now able to capture images that are coming through from another dimension. And it's such an exciting time for humanity that science and spirit and spirituality can merge and be one. And that's what we talk about in the film. A lot of people bring that up, that's what needs to happen now, that science is kind of stuck. It's in this one place, and it needs to go beyond that. And the way that happens is through spirit and through multidimensional mind, that we can't really explore this phenomenon through our linear 3D way of thinking because it doesn't exist in that place.
We actually really don't even have a vocabulary for this. That's what I found as I watched it. I said, you know, we really don't even have the words to describe this phenomena, because our vocabulary is too limited for the new phenomena that we're experiencing. I find that in my work as well. And I really feel, too, I like that you didn't say, oh, it is blank, because it could be, for all we know, another species from another place, a dimension, universe, whatever.
Yes.
We don't know until we find out what the communicational ability is somewhere down the road.
That's right. Well, we call this Orbs 101. That's our...
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So what I liked also about that is that there are many different people in this video. So there are scientists, there are metaphysicians, there are artists, musicians. So there's a big cross-section of people discussing this phenomena, what it looks like, the potential and possibilities. And then there's many, many different pictures or slides of the different kinds of phenomena of the orb, because some people will think, oh, when I'm talking about an orb, especially in radio, we're limited on radio because people can't see this, is I'm just talking about this little ball of light that, you know, looks like a dust bubble that, you know, flashes around, because so often on some of these shows, they'll say, oh, that was dust, oh, that was rain on the lens, oh, that was, you know, stuff stuck to the limbs, but, you know, the truth is, it's not.
No, and there are images where 1 minute there's nothing there, and then 3 seconds later the sky will be full of orbs, and that, how could that happen? How could there be no dust in the environment, and then suddenly filled with dust?
Yeah.
There's a shot of an orb over our sun in the movie too that's quite spectacular, where by the Columbia River, and all of a sudden, this ball of light that's bigger than his head is directly over his head and relating to him. And that's where pictures like that really show us that there's consciousness involved, the placement of them, and the way they relate to people or animals, too.
Well, also in this, it also shows, which I thought was interesting, some are in color and some are not. Some are more opaque and almost, you know, the white ghosty-like film, or iridescent. And some are actually in color. As you said, some of them have geometric shapes. So the phenomena varies with probably each experience.
Yeah, every time you do, every time you go out and photograph orbs, or virtually every time, you find something surprising or new. It's kind of like when you go in the ocean, if you go skin diving, almost every time you go in the ocean, you see something new and different and fascinating.
And from a photographer's point of view, I mean, I know in the book I was reading that at first the person thought that maybe it had something to do with the shutter speed or the light, how the light came through the camera, but he kind of disproved a lot of that by looking at all those aspects.
Yeah, Klaus, I think it was Klaus that looked at that. Both of them have looked at it
very
carefully. But, you know, he has a scientific background. Klaus wanted to make sure that, you know, that he wasn't sticking his neck out. So he really carefully tried to eliminate some of these possibilities.
Well, it's also, to me, it seemed like, too, they were very careful to, you know, try and even discern, is it ionized, you know, is it ionized water or mist that we can't see with our... It's almost, you know, trying to dissect the atom when they didn't know what an atom was.
Right. Yeah.
So it seems to me we're still at that scientific mind that's trying to do all that, and that's why I thought the book was so valuable with the the video was that, you know, he really talked about how he broke it down, how he was a skeptic. You know, he's like the kid that gets the watch, takes it apart to see how it ticks as much as he could. And then yours is so visual and so in the moment that it's sort of the best of both worlds. It's a great combination gift here.
Well, we have to really give credit to Cynthia Black of Beyond Words, because she put Klaus and Michal together. You know, they didn't know each other, and both came to her with war book ideas, and she put them together. So having a theologian and a physicist together is quite remarkable the way that came.
That's incredible.
And then she met us at the first ORF conference ever was in Sedona, Arizona, last May, and Cynthia met us, and she saw a film we had done 5 years ago on orbs that was kind of a home movie compared to the one we just finished. And she said, hi, I'm Cynthia Black from Beyond Words, and how would you like to redo the film? And we were, okay. So really, she's brought some wonderful things to the world with The Secret and distributing What the Bleep now, and a lot of their work is very enlightening. And so she really takes a lot of credit for helping to bring the orb phenomenon out in a big way.
But she deserves a lot of credit.
She does deserve a lot of credit.
Well, in the metaphysical world, it's so wonderful to have, companies now like that, Beyond World, who are really, meeting the needs of the next generation that is really questing in a very different way.
Yes.
So, again, your website is www.orbstheveilislifting.com. We want to make sure we say that several times so people have time to write it down. So what else would you tell someone who's interested in this phenomena, who all of a sudden really, sees your DVD and goes, okay, now I want to start my own collection or want to have an understanding. Are there some little guidelines that you would give as wisdom?
Absolutely. What I tell people is, back again, to get some friends together, get some people together that you like to have fun with. And it doesn't matter if you're a musician. Anyone can open their mouth and sing, I suggest row, row, row your boat. And to bring in the energy, because you're putting out vibes. What you want to do is put out positive, loving vibes. And music or sound carries vibration. And so that's a really great way to put out energy or bring bells. Ting Shas, the Tibetan prayer bells, work really well. And I suggest going to a church or a synagogue, a mosque, somewhere where people have been putting out, loving, positive energies, or a party, or a place in nature, or a park, or somewhere just in the woods that you feel special and you can feel this magical energy, and make it fun, make it a party, and that's what I suggest to people to do, to go look for orbs to begin with. It's a sure way to find them in the beginning.
Well, I think so. I think for someone who's also wanting to see different experiences, seeing a party, seeing a sacred space, like you said, a mosque, a church, a synagogue, any kind of sacred space, plus seeing someone pray, plus seeing people who do healing work, plus seeing musicians. I mean, it's just a feast of things that you could experience to see, plus experimenting with different kinds of people. I think people who are mediums or people who do circles, I think, would be fascinating to take pictures in.
Absolutely.
Like a group that has sat for a long time and done specific, long-distance healing. What was the name of the institute, Randy, you mentioned earlier?
Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Yeah, and I know that they've been involved in that a long, long time. So there's almost a whole other DVD coming on here, guys, of those kind of aspects in a maybe more controlled environment that will take us to the next level, perhaps, of the orb phenomena.
We have absolutely thought of making a second movie that would take people further. And like I said, this is Orbs 101. Some of the things that are coming through from the other dimensions are quite amazing. And we didn't want to go there.
You don't want to overload anybody, yeah.
Exactly. We just wanted to make this something that was very acceptable. And what we found is, even my very conservative yuppie brother saw the film, and he got orbs in a way that, for the last 5 years, 6 years, Randy and I have been doing this, and he wasn't quite ready to
Everybody has a skeptic in their family.
Yeah, right.
We're entitled.
But he saw the film, and the film really touched him. And what he saw out of it was so exciting, because what it was that he saw that reality is bigger than what we consider to be reality. And that's enough. If somebody can see the film and realize that what we see is a very, very small part of the light spectrum, that we've decided that's all that reality is, and once you open up to possibility that there's a lot more than that, it's a huge opening.
Well, you know, the phenomena of this with, you know, the invention of the digital camera really truly for this experience is like the invention of the telescope to see outer space, which we couldn't see at, you know, with the naked eye until there was that invention, or the microscope. And I really believe, you know, we have such a limited vocabulary, a limited use of our brain, that the ability for certain individuals to see these orbs. And on the DVD, as I watched this more and more, I got very excited, because I realized, as people open to the potential of seeing them, like you said, the neural net gets changed so that more people can see. It is really becoming, you know, it will become a worldwide phenomenon of expanding the consciousness, the neural nets of the brain and the eyes.
Yes. And, you know, at the Sedona conference, there were actually people from 14 different countries represented there.
And where was that held?
In Sedona, Arizona.
In May. Now, is information about that, I'm assuming it's going to be an ongoing...
Yeah, the next Orb conference is in Palm Springs. It's at the end of March. It's being put on by Axiom, or the Prophets Conference people.
Oh, good. And they can find out about that on the website when they go to order the DVD. At orbstheveilislifting.com. Make sure you check that out. So other things that you would like to share with our listeners, in a few minutes we'll go to the phone line, hopefully get some call-ins. If not, we'll make Randy talk more. Unfortunately, we have a setup in our studio that one of the guests today has to leave, Hope, for us to get call-ins, because we're taking all the phone lines to have this experience. But Hope, as an artist and you're also a healer, I believe.
Yes. Yes, I've been doing body work in one form or another for 30 years now.
And body work and energy work, really.
Yeah. Yes.
So how long have you been experimenting with the orbs? How long has this actually been going on before you got to the point of the DVD or the film?
It's been about 6.5 years now.
Wow, phenomenal. Absolutely wonderful. I really think that this DVD is going to really change lives, and it's such a gift that you're both bringing here. And I would like to talk a little bit, either Randy or Hope, either, whoever. Would you like to tell me a little bit of the other people who appear on here? There's a lady that's the ocean lady who talks about the dolphins and the orbs underwater, but you had several people in this video.
Yeah, Hope, why don't you go, since you're going to get cut off?
Okay. Yes, there are actually 9 people being interviewed, including Randy and I. So there's Joan Ocean, who you were talking about, who's a psychologist and swims with the dolphins, has for over 20 years, and actually gets telepathic messages from the dolphins. And she also swims with the whales. She travels all over the world to swim with different various mammals. And she is an amazing human being. Everyone in the movie, they're all wonderful, loving people. And then there's, as we're saying, there's Klaus Heinemann, who is the physicist, and Klaus's wife, Gundy. And as Randy and I are working together on this, Klaus and Gundy is a married couple who have been together. They got together when they were teenagers. They are also working on this together. She is a healer, a laying on of hands practitioner. And so she approaches it from a very different perspective. He's a scientist, a hardcore scientist, and she comes to it as an intuitive healer. So we really appreciated the balance with that. And then there's Michal Ledwith, who we were saying is a theologian. And
he was in What the Bleep.
And was in What the Bleep. And he probably has the largest collection of orbs that we know of anyway. He's up to 150,000. images of orbs, and he has just some remarkable things. I was with Michal last night. Actually, we were presenting the film in a church in Portland, and it was very exciting. And at the end, when we have people, we invite people to bring their cameras and photograph for the orbs, and we played Randy's music because Randy wasn't there. Usually, Randy plays live, so we played it over the loudspeakers, and we had people playing bells, and it was fun last night. For the first time, people actually got up and danced around the church too, so it was just this lovely energy. And of course the orbs came, and a lot of people got orbs in their cameras in the film. Then there's also James Gilliland, who lives at Trout Lake. I was saying he's a contactee and gets orbs all the time at his place at Safa Sanctuary, and that's what I was saying, where we first discovered them. And at first we thought they were just there because of the energy. And then we realized when we went home, we started playing, and we realized that orbs are everywhere. But a little aside there, we also can see that, you know, orbs have been seen at crop circles a lot also, in sacred sites around the world for a very long time. And it's our belief that they were showing up at those places first because the veil was thinner, that the veil between the dimensions was thinner. So those were the first places where they were really...
Well, that's very interesting, because I've imported from Egypt for over 20 years. I have a small import business, and some of the first pictures I saw orbs in, where I saw them on film versus seeing them as a kid in my metaphysical work, were on pictures that I took as a tourist in 84 when I first went to Egypt.
That makes sense, exactly.
Yeah, around the pyramids and some tombs, and I was like, what is that? What did I get on my camera?
Uh-huh.
You know, I was trying to justify it to my husband because he had a brand new camera, and he was thinking it was me. But the cool thing was that it showed up in his film shots too. Not so it wasn't just when I used the film.
Right. Well, now you know, so many people are thinking they have a problem with their camera, and they're racing them, and they're complaining about what's going on with my camera, and you know. And along those lines, of course, Jay-Z Knight is also in the film, and I think that, you know, she has been working for so long, and she herself and Ramtha and all her whole group, on what's beyond the five senses, you know, looking into these other dimensions. And she's seen orbs since she was a child also, like you. And I think that the reason that there's so many of them at Yelm and around her organization and when events happen is because they're openly and lovingly inviting in these other realms.
Right, I do think as we go into a time where we are less judgmental, where we are open to the possibilities, probably because of just how I kind of came into the world, you know, I did not see the limitations until, of course, my mother was from Alabama with Southern Baptist background, kind of started limiting them. But, you know, I think the innocence of children are so open to this, and I think orbs would be absolutely so drawn to children and their playfulness, their innocence, their pure love that they give off.
Absolutely.
And so I can see where truly we have people who have been in the metaphysical arena long before it was, you know, more acceptable. Jay-Z Knight has certainly been at it for many, many years.
Yes.
And that would become a sacred site.
Yes. And you know what you're saying about the energy children put out? That's the energy. We can all put that energy out.
Well, one of the things I remember as a child is I would see those, like, I tell my mom that the bubbles were kissing her. I used to see them around my mom's head a lot because my mom was a very kind person, but I also used to see them around animals
uh-huh.
a lot. Like, you know, a lot of animals are just unconditionally loving. And so I think that they're just drawn to the vibration of joy and love, like you were saying.
Absolutely.
So certainly creating that environment. And also, I think consciously calling them out, I think that there's many things out there that we don't understand, that angels, guides, masters, spirits, whatever you want to call them, passed over loved ones, simply by giving permission, by asking them to come in to contact
yes.
us, the healing energy. Everything is a co-creation, and asking permission, I think, is very important for people to start having that opportunity. And as we expand our minds like you did and embrace that, it's a magnificent creation. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hate to let you go, Hope, but I do hope people will call in if they have questions.
Absolutely, I understand.
And it's been an absolute joy. I'm sure you're going to hear a lot from these very talented, incredible artists, professional photographers, healers, in their private creations but also with this new adventure into the orbs, the veil is lifting. And make sure you check their websites. Thank you so much, Hope.
Many blessings.
Lots
Thank you
blessings.
For having us.
Lovely. So, Randy, ready to be on the hot seat? I hope
sure.
we get some calls in. I
sure.
didn't leave anybody too much time to call in. The number to call in if you have questions or if you've had an orb experience to really get the chance to talk to somebody. I know you guys get entranced and then don't call in, but please call in at 1-877-876-5227. So we'll talk until we hear a bleep. Usually we'll start hearing bleeps and then we'll get phone calls. So what is experience for you, Randy, coming from the male perspective? Because I think, you know, women are always so pretty much open to being like, oh, well, that's interesting. But guys are going like, I don't know. Oops, it didn't take us long to get a bleep. Hello.
Hello, Atira.
Hi.
Hi, this is Russ Strohmeyer in Staten, Oregon.
Oh, hi, Russ. Welcome to the show. Got a question. Oh, you actually, don't you have pictures with this in it, I think?
Oh, we've got several pictures with orbs.
For my listening audience, Russ is a photographer, a professional photographer, and is in Oregon, and I met him at a Hay House event. Questions or comments?
A little of both. We went on a Hay House cruise here a few weeks ago, and I was taking pictures of Margie out on the veranda of the ship and got some great pictures of orbs. And as you stated, you know, I'm a professional photographer, so I realize what the difference is between, a flash flare off of droplets of water or dust, and these are definitely different.
Comment, Randy?
Yeah, that's correct. Really, most professional photographers that I've talked to who are open-minded about it, it's, you know, quick to acknowledge, this is not a lens flare or just something, some refracting item in front of the lens. But, you know, there's too much detail. There's too much. And in many cases, they appear behind things.
They actually appear phased over people, too, though.
Yeah.
Like almost looking superimposed.
Yeah, yep. These were very cool because we actually got these photographs of the orbs the day after we got a reading from our son, from John Holland. And it was just cool. And in some cases, there are two orbs, and we're wondering if one of them could have been our son and one of them could have been Margie's mom that passed.
Well, you know, I think that's a question, unfortunately, that's not answered yet, because my belief, you know, as a medium would have to say I get that because I've always got that when I do readings, but certainly I can't prove it, just like, you know, Randy can't prove, you know, what it is. We don't, you know, we can't communicate with the orbs yet to really say that's it. But from my experience, I do see them often when readings like that happen and experiences happen.
Well, one of the other things that happened that was really cool is it was right before Gordon Smith's program, and I went up in the balcony of this three-story high theater on the ship, and people were gathering for the program, and I just, you know, I wasn't trying to take pictures of orbs. I was just taking pictures of what this theater looked like, and I was using the digital camera, and later we looked at those photographs, and there were just a lot of orbs floating around that room, different sizes, different colors, and I was assuming that it was because people were gathering there for the program and hoping to get readings, So I was kind of assuming that it could have been the spirits of the loved ones that were there.
People gathering for an uplifting or spiritual event, it's never surprising when there's a lot of orbs to me. That's certainly my instinct, is that's what it is, and that sort of goes back to the male perspective. I hesitate to make a proclamation, it is this, it is that, but certainly my gut tells me that, you know, my gut agrees with you completely.
Now, we're all energy. We're all energy at some level. Thank you so much for calling in, Russ. I can't wait. I hope I get to see those pictures.
You bet.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Randy, do you take pictures from other people? Will you take pictures that people send you?
Sure. You know, there's a great thing that has been set up on my website. There's a link to that Beyond Words has started a forum, actually, where you can join the forum and, you know, discuss orbs with people and post photos and just generally sort of join an online community with an interest in orbs. And I'm, of course, always fascinated to see things personally, but everybody feels drawn to share their orb pictures, that this is a great venue to do it in. They can
and to see other people's orb pictures
and see other people's, right?
Yeah.
And share their own, so
get the experience of it. I know actually Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, who is the person who runs my website and who is an author in her own right, took a picture that I saw that is, I mean, there are so many orbs, I've never seen anything like it. It was just mind-blowing to me. And, of course, you know, everybody's saying, oh, it's this, it's the wind, it's dust, it's da-da-da-da. But to me, you could tell it was such a different phenomena. So,
yeah, and, you know, my position is you've got to try it yourself. It's easy enough to be skeptical, sit back and be
and you don't need a $10,000 camera, right?
Even the cheapest of cameras,
digital
cameras, even little disposable film cameras capture them. In fact, there are certain, some high-end Nikons and a couple other cameras that I've heard, expensive cameras, many expensive cameras get very good orb pictures also. Some of them, the built-in infrared filter seems like it is set so close to visible light that there's certain very expensive cameras get, you know, few, the orbs are few and far between, but it is still possible to get them on almost any camera.
It may be cutting out the light ray that's needed to capture them.
That's what Klaus seems to think,
that
it's important that they be sensitive in a certain infrared frequency.
It's very important, as we talk today, and we're almost out of time, I can't believe this hour's gone so fast, is that, you know, a lot of the things in the DVD are theories, our ideas about the orbs, certainly having a scientific person involved. But truly, until communication can happen with this energy source, whatever we deem it to be, we can't say exactly what it is other than an orb, what we're calling an orb. Certainly, they come in geometric shapes. There's other things. It's not just limited to the orb shape, although that is a category we're using it for. The actual name of the DVD, but the truth is there may be other shapes that are yet to be discovered.
Yeah, well, diamonds and six-sided figures, hexagons and clouds of plasma, and there's, you know, many interesting shapes, orbs with appear to be only partially manifested with pieces out of them. There's just a great variety of, and, you know, beauty to them, really. It's just even as an aesthetic phenomenon, it's fascinating.
Yeah, Randy, we are out of time. I'm so sorry. I've enjoyed this so much. To find out about Randy's music, to know more about orbs, to know about the Orb Conference, all of these things, please go to www.orbstheveilislifting.com. I'm sure you can find this through Amazon as well. And also by can they go to the actual publisher directly?
Yes, you can go to the publishers. Beyond Words, it's actually www.beyondword.com.
And there's a wonderful book that can go with this. They're wonderful together. And that is the Orb Project Object Book. .com, but you can find them, and I'm sure if you go to their website, I'm sure you're advertising both the book and the DVD, because it is kind of a collaboration. Wonderful, exciting, new, amazing things. I really highly suggest, if you have a class, and you're teaching a class on metaphysics, to get this DVD and use it in a class setting. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. A lot of fun.
Thank you so much. And remember, until we meet again, to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings.